Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We got word this past hour of another hit to the U.S. banking system. SVB Financial Group, former parent company of Silicon Valley Bank, is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. SVB was cut loose after Silicon Valley was seized a week ago. Correspondent Jared Hill.
The Federal Reserve said it's already loaned around $12 billion to cash-strapped banks just this week, all of it through its new emergency lending facility.
Yesterday, 11 big banks rushed to rescue First Republic with a $30 billion deposit. Chinese President Xi Jinping will head to Russia next week to meet with President Putin in a show of support for his invasion of Ukraine. China expert Gordon Chang.
But the fact they're doing this much earlier than expected tells me that there is a crisis, that the Chinese and the Russians plan to further strengthen their partnership. And we can expect more belligerence from the pair.
More from correspondent Weijia Zhang.
On the Takeout podcast, White House spokesman John Kirby told Major Garrett China should think twice before providing lethal weapons to Russia.
We don't believe that it's in China's best interest to be on that side of the war in that way, to help Mr. Putin slaughter innocent Ukrainians. We don't believe it's in China's best interest, but obviously that they'll have a choice to make.
Correspondent Remy Innocencio reports from a portion of southern Ukraine that's been under Russian bombardment.
Victor Karlin and his wife Luba, both 44, lost their lives. Now orphaned, their teenage daughter Snezhana and her 7-year-old brother in intensive care. This far-removed farming village has no apparent strategic value. Since the war started, half of this village's 600 people have fled, their children spirited away, mostly elderly left behind.
Now to Oregon, where EVs are proving a little too popular.
Too many people are applying for the rebates, causing the Clean Vehicle Rebate Program to run out of money. The program has paid out more than $71 million since 2018 to help people buy or lease about 25,000 electric or plug-in hybrid vehicles costing less than $50,000. The state says about a fifth of the rebates, which can total up to $7,500, went to low and moderate income households. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Don't call it Glendale, Arizona anymore. It's Swift City today as Taylor Swift kicks off her highly anticipated Eras Tour with back-to-back performances at State Farm Stadium. This morning, the singer dropped 4 previously unreleased songs. 3 are re-recordings. This is CBS News.
Jackson Hewitt guarantees your biggest refund or your money back plus $100. Get to Jackson Hewitt for your biggest refund.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Illinois is cashing in on Wisconsinites' need for weed. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation estimates the state made over $36 million in tax revenue last year from Wisconsinites traveling across the border to buy pot. Governor Evers is proposing fully legalizing marijuana in his state budget, but state Republicans say that's not going to happen. The name of Father John Coulinan, who served at St. Paul's Church in Mosinee and St. Mary's in Wausau, has been added to the list of credibly accused priests within the La Crosse Diocese. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting Coulinan has multiple substantiated allegations of abuse. He died in 1974. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call launched the investigation into clergy abuse in April of 2021 and since has generated about 250 reports from across the state. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk, from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Want to get more involved in supporting democracy, justice, and equality across the state? Check out the Wisconsin Grassroots Festival this Saturday, March 18th. This annual event is happening at Wisconsin Heights High School near Mazomanie. It includes workshops, food, and entertainment, featuring Civic Media's own Earl Ingram Show and James Santel from Morning Cannolis, plus a keynote speech from Crudy, Mike Crute of the Devil's Advocates. Learn more and register now at wigrassrootsnetwork.org. The Wisconsin Grassroots Festival this Saturday, sponsored by the Civic Media Network of Radio Stations.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
A man to do, oh baby, I'll sacrifice for you, I'll even do wrong for you, oh baby.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday, it means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, Social Security and Medicare, third rail. Nobody wants, I mean, they want to talk about it, excuse me, but not really. So I was saying, more than 10,000 people turn 65 every day in the United States. 10,000.
Happy birthday.
Turn 65. It's not just that that's an alarming number. It means that those people are on Medicare.
Well, they're on
for the majority of Medicare, them will be in Medicaid.
Medicare and Social Security. Yeah, and right. So you know, the whole problem that we've run into is that the people who work and pay taxes are paying for
a system.
For the retirement benefits. The Medicare and Social Security benefits that the people who have retired are now receiving, and back in the day, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the number of people working was a number far larger than the number retired. Right. But as the baby boomers have come to retirement, we've suddenly changed that fraction. So if you looked at a fraction and the numerator was the number of people working and the denominator was the number of people retired. That fraction has gotten far smaller to the point where, you know, it's approaching, you know, 1-to-1 almost. But no matter what that number is, it gets harder and harder from a financial standpoint to support the cost of the retired people who are all receiving defined benefits, right? We have a defined benefit program. That's what Social Security is. We know how much we're going to get each year. And so the people who are working have to come up with it. And so the FICA tax we have is the way we pay for it, along with the premium, the health insurance premiums that people on Medicare might pay. And that FICA tax is only now subject to being paid by the people who earn income up to $400,000. And so, you know, there are ways to look at this. And the problem is that when the Republicans who are willing to talk about it, they talk about it without any specificity, leaving the world to worry about whether they're talking about eliminating benefits. And of course, the people who are on benefits, who are looking forward to benefits, understand that the benefits we receive are pretty spare. You know, you're not living the life of Riley on Social Security, and Medicare is a vital kind of, and it only pays 80% of medical costs. So it's a vital kind of a benefit, and
And so if we're going to be left to worry about whether that's going to be eliminated or reduced, that's a political third rail. On the other side of the coin, the Democrats simply say, we aren't even going to talk about it. It's sacred. But we do have to talk about it because we have to figure out how we're going to handle at least the funding of the benefits that are being paid. And France, of course, what France is going through right now is a bit of an echo of what we've already done. You know, what they're doing now is simply increasing the retirement age so that that decreases the numbers of people who are retired. It decreases that population and increases the population of those who will be working by the cohort that are in that two-year period, 63, 64.
You know, Sandy, and this has been, can has been kicked down the road for so long because somebody had to see this when you're in my generation, the baby boomers, when we were all working and that equation wasn't so bad at the time because we were all...
Well, we've done it somewhat. So, you know, we've increased retirement age, you know...
Ronald Reagan did.
Yeah, so we increased the retirement age, same thing that Macron has just done in France. And we've done some other things. We've increased the amount of the FICA, the amount of income that's subject to payment of the FICA tax. But these are all things that are not painful to the people receiving the benefits. I mean, it might defer the benefits, but what really is sacred, and I think it is sacred in a third rail, is the notion of reducing retirement benefits or Medicare benefits because they're not very generous.
To people who are already on it.
Yeah, well, even to those who are looking forward to it because the 401k program has not proven, itself to be enough, right? So if you don't have anywhere near enough Social Security, and if what we're saying is everyone just has to finance their own retirement, you know, the Wall Street Journal yesterday just carried an article that said that a significant percentage of people earning $100,000 or less are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, like almost all of them. Only 18% of the country, it said, earns more than $100,000 a year. So 82% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. You can't save for your retirement if you're living paycheck to paycheck. So if we have a universe of workers in this country, 82% of which are living paycheck to paycheck, they won't have money for retirement other than Social Security, okay? And so the notion of gutting Social Security benefits is going to be it's a dead end. It's something the country can't tolerate.
So let's do this. Let's bring in Paul from Waukesha. Good morning, Paul. How are you? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Paul.
You say what?
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yes. I'm a little ways off from retirement, and I don't know. I don't know if I'll get it. You know, who knows?
You don't know. You don't know if you'll get what? Social Security?
Social Security.
How old are you? How old are you,
54.
Man? Oh, 54.
54.
Okay.
Yeah. And they keep talking about, you know, the problems with Social Security, that's going to be insolvent and this and that. But anytime anyone seems to mention it, let's say, I'm just going to say Ron Johnson because I know he's talked about Social Security. And you always hear them say, oh, the Republicans want to do whatever to Social Security. And but yet here you guys are talking about basically, from what I gather, I could be wrong, the same issues that they're talking about.
In a different manner.
Something needs to be done with this.
Well, I mean, I think we're talking about the fact that in reality, yes, something has to be done, but what has to be done is on the funding side.
Not privatizing.
Not privatizing it, because privatizing it, that was the 401k movement, right? That was the George Bush II answer.
Yes.
Yeah, and everyone does now understand that 401k, at the level that is allowed for deferred earnings and savings in the 401k, as well as the performance of the country in actually filling their 401k accounts, shows that it's not going to do the trick. So, we need to figure this out. It probably relates to higher taxes, which is not something Ron Johnson was ever talking about. It needs to be probably whether we continue to fund it discreetly like we do with FICA and simply say the FICA tax is now going to apply to any level of income or levels of income up to 800,000 or some number. But there are answers to this that don't involve reducing benefits and putting people into a corner that from which they can't extricate themselves financially.
Hey, Paul.
Let's say I don't even make it to retirement age. Let's say I die before that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I've been working since I've been 15 years old. I don't know how much I put into Social Security. Who knows?
They know.
You know. Where does that money go? I end up not getting it. Maybe my wife gets a portion of my Social Security. I don't know.
Your wife will get survivor Social Security benefits. One of the problems we have.
Your children, too, if they're young enough.
One of the problems we have with Social Security, though, is we characterized it as if it was a pension fund, as in a private pension fund, as if we were creating a fund from which we would withdraw the money. And yes, an accountant could explain how that was what was going on, but that was never what was going on. We've always just funded Social Security with a tax. You know, the working people pay a tax, and the money that they pay goes out to retired people, and there has been a surplus in prior years, but the surplus wasn't put into an actual bank account. It was invested in treasury bonds, which was a way of essentially reducing the deficit that would otherwise have occurred by the government. So, the problem
which were safe. The treasury bonds were safe.
Well, they were safe. It was a fiction, though.
Right.
Because, you know, the government, it's like lending money from one pocket to the other. You don't have to do it. It's just an accounting entry. And so I know what you have a fellow who comes on who talks about Social Security and would critique what I just said, but it's really kind of an auditing kind of a myth, an accounting myth. And the fact is that if you look at it pragmatically, you have to look at money in and money out. And what Paul has justified in thinking the way he is because he thinks, well, I put a lot of money in, I'm not going to get it out. Well, what you did is you put in taxes, and we don't get our taxes back. And so I'm afraid the reality is that our Social Security payments, our FICA, is just another form of tax.
Hey, Paul, man, thank you very much for the call, as always, man. I appreciate it. We've got to go to a break, but I want to put this out before the listening audience. What are your thoughts on your 401k? Has it been successful to you? Those of you who have 401ks, do you feel as if that's been a great game changer for you and your families? 844-967-2789. I can tell you, as somebody who, you know, had a 401k, not anymore, it was not as great as they let it out to be. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
Well, it was a game changer.
I'm going to get to look I call. Yeah. And I'm gonna make you love me. Yes, oh, oh, yes, I'm gonna make you love me. Ooh, yes, I will. Yes, you will. Yes, I will. Come on and love me. I'm gonna make you love me. Ooh, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Come on and love me.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 31 this afternoon under overcast skies. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows around 13 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 25. Dry and turning much warmer Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 30s to the mid 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Girl, I can't believe.
All temptations all the time.
See, you're taking away my reason for living, and you won't even.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and let's go to Judith from Milwaukee. We were talking about before the break, your 401k and how you feel about it. Has it been all that you thought it would be? Again, 844-967-2789. Now's the time to join in, and we want to hear what you have to say. Hey, Judith, how you doing? Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Well, thanks very much for listening to me. I appreciate your concern about the 401ks and so forth. But I think the real problem in this country is the CEOs. It's like we have, 27 billionaires or whatever it is, and they're sucking this country dry. That is the real problem. I have to agree with Joe Biden that they need to pay some tax on all that money that they're accumulating. Nobody needs that much money. They probably don't even know how to spend it, and they don't, probably. I don't know what they're doing. But it's just not right.
So you clearly are not one of those billionaires, is it safe to say?
Clearly not, no.
you know what, are you close to Social Security?
I am on it. Yes.
So what
I work long and hard for it, and so did my husband. And I'm thinking, I mean, they are scaring the public, and they are, you know, do not value us, our contributions, and that we're all expendable. That's the way I think these CEOs think.
You know, Judith, thank you very much. What you have to say is important and valuable, and you've done a good job. You can call us anytime.
And there are 735 billionaires in the U.S. as of 2022. So would that there only be 29, but there are quite a few more than that. And it's a growing number as the stock market rises.
So, you know, Sandy, Judith remembers a time, and she talked about her husband, when it wasn't the way it is now, and there wasn't that big a chasm between the average family person and the wealthy. And that's grown. There's no question at all about it. And it's taken along with it, I think, the middle class.
Well, I think the problem is that during this long extended period after World War II, what's become apparent is that you can't get wealthy working, and you can get wealthy with assets. And so it's the asset-owning class that gets wealthy, the people who have stock and can invest their growing value of their stock in more stock. It's people with real estate. It's people with hard assets. And it's also people who get into companies and the company grows rapidly and they grow with it. And also, beginning in about 1985, there was this trend in the country to pay executives of corporations far more as compared to the average worker in that corporation than they used to get paid. And although those people were not getting paid in cash, they were getting
stock
paid
options.
In stock options and stock grants, which gave them assets, which provided them the opportunity to accumulate wealth, not off their own sweat, but off of the accumulation and value of assets. And so, you know, that's the way it works. And what the problem is that the salaries of people have not kept up. And the business model in America has changed, and the globalization as well, coupled on top of that, has resulted in our workers now being in a far different position. Not having health benefits at work, an increasing number of our workers are in that position, whereas Judy and others who were working, I'm sure, had health benefits from work, and that isn't the case today. And so we've just changed the environment in this country quite a bit, and one of the ways we've changed it is by making the safety net that is not available to our workers a much bigger wound, because now almost all of our families have two workers. They need child daycare, but they have to pay for it. It's expensive. They work places where they don't get health care benefits. Now they have to pay for it. It's very expensive, and it's a problem.
And you know, Judith, it was better for you and I than it's going to be for our grandchildren. That's the sad part of all of it. You know, Social Security and Medicare is there for you and I right now. Not so sure it's going to be there for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Well, I think what we need to do is have everyone think about it. Instead of sweeping it under the rug, what we need to do is think about all the ways we can make sure that we can assure that it will be available for our children and grandchildren. And, you know, I think that's what the sort of the liberal movement would like to say, but I think it would be more credible to people like the callers that have come in who doubt it will be available if we were taking the steps right now that could be seen as being sure that it will be available.
Got to go to a break. Judith, thank you very much for the call. Lou from Cudahy, hey, hang on. We'll be right back.
Weather on this snowy day.
The Shaw 101 FM.
CBS News Brief. Breaking news from the banking industry. SVB, the parent of Silicon Valley Bank, has just filed for bankruptcy protection. Comes a day after 11 major U.S. banks deposited $30 billion to save First Republic. Janet Yellen's appearance on Capitol Hill and assurances Americans' money is safe came yesterday. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Senators also pressed the Treasury Secretary about whether other banks across America would get similar rescues to the ones issued this week. She said only if there is systemic risk to the U.S. economy.
Overseas, Beijing says President Xi will visit Moscow next week for his first face-to-face with Vladimir Putin in 6 months. Analysts say China's making a show of support for Russia's war on Ukraine. Kyiv getting new assistance of its own. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
Slovakia announced that it will join Poland in sending fighter jets to Ukraine.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, inviting you to join us every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Up North News is your online home for stories that are unabashedly Wisconsin. We cover the latest out of the state capital, of course, but we also celebrate this amazing state with stories about people and places, food, events, history, and more. You can find our work at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, or search for Up North News WI on social media and subscribe to our newsletter, too. Then, each morning, I get you caught up on the latest headlines, plenty of weather checks, a little sports. We do a daily music break and a history lesson. We have newsmakers, insiders, community leaders, and all kinds of other guests and regulars. And we take the time to break down an issue or a story and explain it in plain English. Catch Up North News Radio weekdays 6 to 8 here on the radio, the Civic Media website, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Greg Bach is here because it is Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday. Greg Bach, what is this hour called?
The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry.
It's right for today.
It's right for today.
Oh,
it's
you know right. What, Jane? Can you ever be on my side? Ever?
Weekdays 11 to 2.
What do you think got me this job, Greg Bach?
Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
On Civic Media.
Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
And the Civic Media app.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And we are talking about Social Security and Medicare and where we are with that. And so our phone lines are open again at 844-967-2789. I asked the question about your thoughts on 401k, and how has that worked for you? Let's go to the phone lines and Lou from Cudahy. Good morning, Lou. What do you say?
Good morning. I get the Wall Street Journal every day and I read it. The average degradation or loss of value for 401ks is down about, they lost about 23 to 30% because of the Biden inflation that's put in place.
Because of what?
Because of Biden inflation. Joe Biden's inflation he brought about, and the which is an extra tax on all of us. The degrading of 401ks That shouldn't be, and that's why I think it's dangerous to put Democrats in, charge of anything that has to do with fiscal responsibility.
So let me ask you, so was the 401k created by Democrat or Republican?
Who's in the White House?
I hear what you're saying. You're saying the stock market's gone down that much. The stock market's kind of bopped around. It's still over 30,000. And the issue with respect to fiscal prudence, I don't think we want to get into that discussion, Lou, because I think if you look at deficits, the deficit level as between Republicans and Democrats over a long period of time, the track record isn't very good as far as Republicans are concerned. The track record isn't very good as far as Washington is concerned. We have deficits, we had a Vietnamese war that we paid for with deficits instead of a war tax. We had both Afghanistan and Iraq, which were huge drains of money, but we didn't increase taxes. We decreased taxes, and we increased the deficit. And deficits are an extremely inflationary thing, whether they operate on an inflationary basis. In the first year they occur or later, they are a problem. And so, and if we were really going to address fiscal austerity today, we would also be talking about tax increases. We reduced the revenue. The budget was the revenue that the Treasury was getting in a material amount with the tax decreases that occurred under the Trump administration. And so if we want to restore fiscal austerity, one of the things we could and should be talking about, as well as tightening our belts, would be increasing the revenue stream.
Well, and as a guy who had a 401k from the onset when they first created 401ks, long before Joe Biden and inflation, it didn't turn out the way many of us thought when we decided to add those 401ks to what we were doing.
Well, I think one of the problems with 401ks is that, yes, if you do it over the life of your working period, you end up with sort of a laddered portfolio. You get into it year by year. But first of all, the amount that people can put into a 401k
is not enough that's going to lift them.
Well, they have to have enough money to forego the cash in the year they put it in. And in today's world, like I said, the Wall Street Journal that Lou reads every day reported that an extensive percentage of people who earn $100,000 and less are living paycheck to paycheck, which means they aren't funding their 401ks or can't. And we've already gone through the Wisconsin median income family, and it's very clear that they could not fund a 401k. They can't even buy a car. If they buy health insurance and pay for child daycare, they're done in terms of being able to put money aside. So I think the problem with a 401k, you could point at a point in time and say, well, the stock market's gone down. But the real problem with a 401k is that it wasn't going to be enough for people to retire on absent Social Security.
So, Lou, the other thing that I would say to you, man, is it's not always Democrat and Republican. So it's the 401k is not the answer because of Joe Biden and inflation. It's because it was not thought. I don't know if it was thought through enough, Sandy.
Well, conceptually, if you put enough into it every year, and if the stock market behaved just as you wanted, the problem is that you retire at a point in time, and the stock market might not be thriving when you retire. If you retired in 2009, after the collapse of the stock market at the end of the Bush administration, you would have been hard.
Oh, yes.
You would have been in a real bad place.
Yeah, because
the stock fell.
It was down to 7,000. The Dow Jones was a little less than 8,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were relying on stock investments to retire and you retired in 2009, you were really in a very tough spot. And so the stock market's going to go up and down. It trends up in the long term and has since World War II. Hopefully that's something you can still bank on. But even that is potentially less likely when you've got a stock market that hovers in the mid-30s.
Okay, Lou, anything else?
Yes.
What?
When Donald Trump left office, the inflation rate was somewhere between 1% and 2%. Then it went in. When Biden gets in there, goes up to over 8-9%, enough said. Facts matter. That is a fact of history.
I know, but Lou, when the second Bush left office, you know, stock market, again, the Dow Jones was under 8,000. When Barack Obama left, it was over 16,000. So you can't go by.
Well, and also connecting dots.
Yeah.
Connecting the dots that you want to connect, you have to plug into that the pandemic. You have to plug into that the shortage that was caused by the supply chain problems across the world as a result of the pandemic. You have to plug into that the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, it's not that simplistic.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things, and we can all connect dots based on historical facts. But some of those dots, when you connect them incorrectly, come up with pretty crazy conclusions.
All right, Lou, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Connie. Hey, Connie, how you doing? Connie from Waukesha. Hey, Connie. Do we have Connie on?
Yes.
All right, here she
Hello?
Is. Hey,
Hi.
How you doing, my friend?
Hey.
Long time no hear from.
Hi, Earl. Hey, I have a problem with people like Lou blaming Biden, blaming everyone else, blame. You know, I'm 58 years old. I'll never be able to retire. It's not going to happen. This year is the first year I stopped contributing to my 401k because I'm one of those people who are living paycheck to paycheck. And Lou, I've got news for you. Donald Trump did nothing for me. Nothing. I don't have a... that's great. The stock market, inflation, whatever. I'm formerly middle class. You know, this in 2005... the crap hit the fan for me, and I have not been able to recover. I'm single. I don't have a dual income. I don't think people realize how hard it is out there.
You know, Connie, you are a perfect example of what Sandy is talking about and what so many people fail to understand. You are saying clearly at your age that you don't see a way that you're going to be able to retire. That's got to be a horrific thought.
Well, I think also her fact circumstance puts the finger on a very important fact, which is many, many people in many, many families and many, many people in the United States secure comfortable middle class status because of being able to share joint earnings from two breadwinners in a family. And we have an increasing number of people in the United States living singly. And when you live singly, you are forced to, and the average income in the United States, the median income in the United States right now is $44,000. And so whereas the median family income is $75,000. That gives you the same fact that Connie just gave us. There's lots of people who are living singly. And if you live singly, $44,000 in any sort of metropolitan area in this country is paycheck to paycheck. And you have to forego a whole bunch of things in that, and you couldn't possibly fund a 401k with that income.
And let's say you own a home, which kind of you do, right?
Yes, I do.
Right. So, I mean, come on. There's just not a lot left.
No, and Connie, did you buy a home when you were a single earner, or is that a home, a vestige?
I bought it when I was single.
Yeah.
I was doing very well in 2005 when Bush was in office. Everything went to heck, you know, and I have not been able to recover since then. And the 401k, that's nothing but a scam. It doesn't do you any good when the stock market crashes three times and you lose half of everything you have because it's impossible to earn it back. Or I should say, I don't even know if earn is the right word, but it's just...
Well, I think the...
we need to stop blaming everyone else, and we need to start working together and a little more empathy towards other people and putting yourself in their shoes to see how the other half lives.
It is well said, Connie.
Absolutely.
Thank
well
you very
said.
Much for the call. Really appreciate it.
And I think politicians should spend much more time...
listening to Connie's.
Well, with a blackboard, looking at the actual plight of people who live in the circumstance of middle America and average America, because Like I said, only 18% of Americans earn more than $100,000 a year. And what's become clear is that if you live in a metropolitan area, $100,000 a year is not the gravy train. You know, people used to think if you earned that much, you were rich. The fact is that if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're not rich. And you are not in a position to take care of the future. You're barely taking care of the present.
If you made $100,000 in 1975,
well, you were rich.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's a function of inflation. But
I know.
But today's world, because of the fact that health benefits have become quite expensive and have to be secured by an increasing number of people on their own. The world has changed. The social safety net that we don't have provided by the government, much of which used to be provided by our employer, pensions and health care, are no longer there.
So look, there's only a handful of people who are ever going to be rich of the population. And so we need to stop looking at everything from the perspective of those people who are rich and who are going to be rich. And start dealing with the majority of the populace. And because if we don't fix that, I don't know how the nation can remain strong or solvent, right? Because I don't see anything in the coming future, Sandy, that there's going to be this miraculous change for all of those people who are struggling to make it up the ladder. And I'm not talking about to become rich, but to be able to live just a comfortable middle-class life.
Well, I keep coming back to this because it's kind of an epiphany I had several years ago looking at it, but the way America has changed is that we're asking middle America to pay back their education debt from a prior time, to try and save money for the education for their children in an environment in which education is getting more and more expensive. We're asking them to pay for health care insurance when that used to be part of the benefits that almost all of them got at work. We're asking them to pay for child daycare because it used to be that middle America had one breadwinner and the other part of the household was staying at home and caring for kids. So we've changed the way middle America lives. We've changed their whole expense profile. And we should understand that if they lived in a country like Germany that was providing the social safety net that is provided there, our workers could and would be comfortable. And I know we're going to be talking later about taxes, but I'm confident that if business was thoughtful, they would realize that they should be fighting for that social safety net so they could continue to pay wages that they are currently paying to a workforce that then could be comfortable and not afraid of the future.
All right, got to go to a break. Phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. You two can join the conversation. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 31. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows level off around 13 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs around 25. Bright sunshine expected Sunday with daytime highs approaching 39. 46 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, to hear the average people, which is what we hear on our radio show and on this radio station, the people who are listening, the everyday people, it doesn't matter what side of the equation they're on, but what they all know and what they all have in common is something's not right and it's not getting better, whether there's a Democrat or a Republican in office. It's just not getting better for the common person. And you know, I remember when I first met you, you were talking about our country doesn't plan. And we don't have a plan. And when you see 10,000 people turning 65 every day, and there's not a plan in place to address that, when are we ever going to get to that point, Sandy? It's not going to be, we can't luck up and get out of this situation, can we?
Well, I think it's because we are willing to not look at reality. We have our heads in the sand. We kick the can down the road. There's every kind of platitude you can apply to what it is we do. But what it is we don't do is we don't do self-examination and we don't do lessons learned from the past. You can see that with bank failures. You can see it. And we don't address things head on, and it's because politically if you can duck a problem that might cost you a vote or two, that's what you're going to do. You're going to duck it and let it be handled tomorrow after you get reelected. And so you know, I think what's wrong today is that, like Connie that called in or Judy that called right. in, people today in Middle America are living desperate lives, but they're living them quietly. A lot of people, when you live desperately, you don't explain it to your friends and neighbors. You don't understand that you're in a boat with a lot of people. And what we need to do is for these people to let their politicians know just what it's like to live in Middle America today so that we solve for it, because we're not taking steps to solve for it.
All right, let's go to Mary. Hey, Mary, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. So my takeaway from this is the conservatives are promoting or replacing the Social Security system with investing our futures, our retirement, in the 401k industry. Not a good idea. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not sure that they're currently talking about expanding 401k. They did that under the Bush administration, and there was a wave of kind of hysterical optimism about the notion that, gosh, maybe we can actually get rid of Social Security and replace it with this whole private investment formula. And certainly Wall Street was very enthusiastic about that possibility because it was going to lead to trillions of dollars of investment for portfolios that heretofore don't exist that were going to be created out of this pre-tax. I don't know what the problem with what's going on about Social Security now is. There are some Republicans who would talk about getting rid of it, but they don't talk about how they're going to replace it. And there are some Republicans who simply say we've got to do some stuff about it, leaving open the question of whether they want to play with benefits or whether they want to play with funding. We have some Democrats who are simply unwilling to talk about it, and then we have some Democrats who are willing to talk about it and do talk sensibly about revising funding, like, for instance, increasing the level of income that is subject to the FICA tax enough to adequately fund. So I think what's happened here is we've got our head in the sand. We're not willing to talk about it. We're all left to imagine.
Mary?
Yeah, I thought that the current message we're hearing, you know, especially from our Senator Ron Johnson, is that we should, you know, just get rid of Social Security and replace it with 401k, you know, and anybody who has any sense in their head, not a good idea.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much for the call, as always, my friend. I appreciate it. Charles from Green Bay, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm doing really good. First of all, the $8 trillion that the Congress and the United States government has stolen from Social Security over the past, you know, how many years since Reagan. And then, you know, and sure, it's been bipartisan, but it's been bipartisan because you either do it or we default. Well, right now we're working on a default. And also the fact of the matter is, in Wisconsin, back when Tommy Thompson was governor, he took $6 billion out of the state teacher's retirement fund, and a federal judge said, nope, you can't do that. That's not your money. It's not your money to take and use. You know, I paid into that Social Security for, you know, what, 65 years. And, you know, and I'm expecting to keep it. Also, the fact of the matter is, if you notice, and Mary made a good point, the Republicans have all these great ideas they want to do. Let's get rid of, you know, the Affordable Care Act. Let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of that. Okay, what are you going to do to replace it? You have to have a replacement before you can get rid of something. And, yes, if you want to call the Affordable Care Act, there's problems with it. I had a brand-new car. Something was wrong with it. It's under warranty. They fixed it. Don't dump something if it works and then just, you know, fix it.
Hey, Charles.
Stop taking money out of it. Darn account.
Hey,
you have a good day. Keep up the good work.
Well said, man. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we've got a great new segment that we're going to bring in. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're rolling.
Like the sadness in his little heart. Monday morning at 8. Don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.